chapter 4. And I want to read from verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That means the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. And then if you go over to chapter 5 of Luke, and I want to read from verse 15, "But so much the more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Then go over with me to 1 John, chapter 2, and I want to read verse 20. "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." And then verse 27, "But the anointing which you've received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him." And then one last verse from Isaiah. You would say Isaiah, but really it's not, it's Isaiah. Chapter 10 and verse 27. "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Now, one of the things that intrigued me as a child growing up in Pentecost was what I'm talking to you about right now, the subject of the anointing. People knew when it was there, but they didn't know what to do with it. We had three people that if they felt any anointing, they would manifest. Sister Rukundu, that would set off Brother Rababanda, and then that would set off Sister Hikikula. You could almost set your watch by the time in the service. If there was any bit of anointing, Rababamba, Hikikikula, Rukundu, Rukundu. And so people love the anointing, they love the presence of God, but in order to get it, they had to go get back in another service. Well, we need to go get back in another meeting. Oh, if we can just have it like it was. I remember how it used to be back, you know, in 1922. Bring back those happy days. Those happy days. It's always looking back. But God's a God of the now. And the Holy Ghost is in the now. Can you say amen? So I begin to study everything that could on the subject of the anointing. And I have been studying it really all of my life. And I still have not exhausted the subject, because we are not talking about modern science here. We're talking about Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, because the anointing is his presence, and the anointing is tangible, and the anointing is transferable. Now, why am I saying this? I mean, we just returned from the Holy Land, and I remember years ago turning on Christian television, and there was a preacher, and he was right under the Western Wall, as close to where you could get to where they called the Holy of Holies, and he was on television, and he said how strong the anointing was. So I thought there was something wrong with that because I couldn't see how the Holy Ghost would still be there. So, of course, when we made a journey, the first trip when I got to Israel, I said, would you take me under the wall? They said, what do you mean? I said, well, as close to the Holy of Holies, they said, as possible. And they took me under there. There was nothing. There was no anointing whatsoever. They had more anointing if I went into the back wall, of this church right here. And I begin to realize how the church falls into idolatry so quickly. Because the fact of the matter, why would you even sense the anointing there? Because even if that was where the Holy of Holies was, he's not there. When Jesus cried, it is finished, the veil of the temple was torn in two, and the Holy Spirit came out of an earthly tabernacle, never again to live therein, but to come and live in your heart and my heart. That's why the scripture says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What? The Pentecostal church? The charismatic movement? They have as much idols as what the Catholic church has. Oh, you might not run around with the Saint Christopher and the Virgin Mary and a bunch of beads, but you've got every trinket when you sent your love gift. Maybe I shouldn't bring that up now, but when you sent your love gift in to that ministry and they sent you that trinket, water from the Jordan, oil from the Holy Land, or a life-size poster of that preacher to put on your refrigerator. And I understand that God uses a point of contact. I understand that. The woman touched the hem of his garment. I understand that the Bible says that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body we're taking handkerchiefs under the folk. But yet I've seen many ministries dispense handkerchiefs, and there was nothing in the handkerchief. Not even a booger. At least you get something. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say. Nothing. Nothing. Because nothing went into it. Therefore, nothing's going to come out of it. Well, at least I got some response from somebody that just sat there with a deadpan face for the whole service. Suddenly, I thought they were dead. I actually thought somebody had brought them from the mortuary and just propped them up in the pew. But when I said that, I suddenly got a reaction. So, hey, things are happening here tonight. But the anointing is God's electricity. Now, I mean, no, there's electricity running into this building right now. You're getting the benefits of electricity. Aren't you glad it's not just running into your seat? The same blessing that we're getting with the air conditioning, the sound, and the blessing of electricity tonight could cause major havoc if suddenly this current was running into your chair. Which I wish that would happen for a few people here tonight. If you know anything about electricity, you get a good conductor and you get a bad conductor. If there's electricity in this place, then why should we pray for electricity in this place? If you arrive here with a brand new electrical appliance and you stand near the wall socket, oh, I just pray that somehow the power would come to this piece of equipment that I've just purchased. Oh, God, send your power. Just take the thing and plug it in. Are you with me? Oh, God, send your power again, just like you did in days of old. No, his power's never left. His power's at a constant. God doesn't have fluctuating power. His power's at a constant. Heaven's, if you looked at electricity in heaven, the lights don't flicker in heaven because we're placing a demand on the power of God down here below. God's power is the same. Can you say amen? And when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, he never left. Never. For 2,000 years, the Spirit of God's been moving in the earth. And when you go and you look and you study church history, over 2,000 years, there have been men and women that have plugged into the anointing. And then God did supernatural things with them and in them and through them. Not because God has favorites. It's because somebody got hungry. Somebody got thirsty. Somebody got desperate. Like Jacob, who wrestled with an angel. You might wrestle with an angel, you'll limp for the rest of your life. I will not let you go. I will not let you go. I will not let you go. Go and study church history for the past 2,000 years, and you'll see men and women that got hungry, they got thirsty, they got desperate, they plugged into God, and God did supernatural things through their life. In a day with no radio, no television, no internet. Just go back over 150 years and go look at the footprint of people like Dr. David Livingstone. Of what happened and how God used him in Africa. This whole place is named after him. See, God's called every person in this room to be a carrier of the anointing. Whether you're in the ministry or not in the ministry, that matters not. You were called to be a carrier of the anointing. That's what we're going to be talking about this whole week. I'm going to talk to you about how to increase the anointing. And I'm going to talk to you about how to release the anointing. There's an anointing for business. All right, try over there. There's an anointing for business. The anointing's not just for a service. The anointing's not just to sing in a service and clap your hands and prophesy. The anointing is to live life. Listen, I remember when I was a kid, we play a game called rugby. We don't, like you people, wear helmets and the men run around in tights, which is like gross for me. You know what I'm saying? Grown men running around in tights and slapping each other's behinds. I mean, that's just something we don't do coming from Africa. You leave my behind alone. You understand what I'm saying? But I remember I played a position called eighth man, and I remember praying, and I remember feeling the power of God coming on me, and the Lord said, get the ball. If you get the ball, you're going to score right now. And it was only when he told me that I could pick the ball and carry five people and go over the line for a touchdown. And I could feel that presence of God. What do you think happened to Samson when he took... caught 300 foxes and set fire to the tails and turned them loose. I prayed the other day. I said, Lord, just raise up another Samson. Send him to Washington, D.C. with a jawbone of a donkey and take care of business. Aren't you glad we're under the new covenant? How many are glad I'm not God? Because I'd raise up a Samson right now. I'd raise up about three. No, the anointing's to do supernatural things. Yeah. Elijah outran a chariot of horses. Yeah. It's for life. It's not just for a service. Open in prayer, close in prayer. The anointing is as tangible as if you go home right now to your home and you go to your bedside table lamp and you unscrew the light bulb and you put your finger in the socket. It's as tangible. And it is transferable. That means you can give it away. What did Jesus tell the disciples? freely you have received, freely give. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It bothers me when I see the church trying to get God to do what he's already done. Begging the Lord. Oh God, move somewhere, somehow. Somewhere, somehow. Oh God, move, Lord, we pray. When he said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And you praying, oh God, move. And the Lord's really looking down saying, oh, please move. Please move. Lord, move. Would you please move? We're not waiting for God. God's waiting for us. Are you listening to me? Well, Brother Rodney, I just don't feel anointed. No, to be honest with you, you don't even look that anointed. But guess what? We're not going by feelings. We're not going by how you look. It's great to have the prophet Elijah with us tonight. Great to have him. Never know Old Testament saints show up here in the meetings at Calvary Cathedral. I think I saw Jeremiah back there somewhere, but so I'm an inquisitive person. As a kid, I got into trouble for dismantling things. I would take an alarm clock and pull it apart and then put it back together and they always leave a piece out. So I was always interested in the anointing. And I'll never forget, I was about 7 years of age and my dad told me that we were going to have a visit from a cowboy preacher who was coming to us from Montana. I was so excited. We don't have cowboys in Africa. That's why my brother's become a cowboy now. And so I made my dad take me to the airport when they were going to go pick up this evangelist, and he arrived. And boy, he looked like a cowboy. He had cowboy boots, jeans, big belt buckle, the shirt, the bolo tie, the hat, everything. But then I looked, he didn't have a gun. I was a little concerned about that. I said, Dad, he doesn't have a gun. My dad had explained, son, he couldn't bring it on the plane. Okay, but then where's his horse? Well, he couldn't fly the horse all the way from America. But let me tell you, one thing that this man had was he had the anointing. He had the power of God. And I'll never forget, because he would just point at people. They would go flying through the air. You know, when you're 7 years old, sitting in church, and there's a cowboy preacher walk around pointing his finger, people are flying through the air. It looked like he had a gun. I don't know what he had, but he had something. And then he told the story. And I'll never forget the story, and I've had the privilege now of telling the story is in all the nations, what's 57 nations now of the world that we've been able to go by the grace of God. And I'll continue to tell the story until the Lord comes to take me home. But he told a story about how he used to minister. This was back in the 60s. I'm 7 years old. This was in the 60s. He was talking about something that was taking place in the 50s. He would preach in Montana, North, South Dakota, Wyoming. And he would minister amongst the North American Indian tribes, which I've had the joy of doing that myself now, actually been adopted by two Indian tribes and actually have an Indian name. My name is Awakawehwashish, which means mountain mover. That's the name that they gave to me. So that was given to me by a three-time grand chief of the Crow of Montana. There were five generations of Pentecostals Because back in the early 1900s, a little lady from the Crow Indian tribe found her way on Bonnie Bray Avenue in Los Angeles, and the fire of God hit her, and she carried it back, and it spread all across Montana, and whole villages were under the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But anyway, he told the story how he was preaching, and he said he would run meetings that would go for weeks on end, and he said, he went to this one area and he said there was this big chief. The big chief would come to every service with, if you've ever seen the headdress with the feathers, it's an amazing sight. And he said the big chief would sit in the service with no expression whatsoever. He said it didn't matter what happened, the big chief would just be sitting there day after day. So he thought, well, I wonder if he likes the meetings. I wonder if he doesn't like the meeting. But he couldn't really tell. Couldn't read the face of the chief. Just sat there. So he announced that the next night that he was going to be praying for people of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said when he called for the people to come, the first person was the big chief. Big chief comes to him, which took him back a little bit. He was like taking, you know, a little shock. Yes, sir, what do you want? Big chief said, me want the Holy Ghost. But me no want little Holy Ghost go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Me want big Holy Ghost go, hallelujah. So obviously he had sat, watched for days, and he would just say to himself, me no want that. Me no want that. So I remember hearing that, and I grabbed a hold of the wisdom of this chief. As he said, me no want little Holy Ghost. Me want big Holy Ghost. Me no want little Holy Ghost. Go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Me want big Holy Ghost. Big Holy Ghost. Big Holy Ghost. Big Holy Ghost is available to everyone. But you got to get hungry. See, people expect God to move within an hour. You know, why did Jesus tell them to go tarry at Jerusalem? They waited 10 days. Most people would have left. That's why I personally believe there was probably more than 120 that initially went. I can't wait any longer. He said there was this Holy Spirit coming. Nobody showed up yet. I got to go down and make a deal. I'm trading in my one hump camel for two hump camel because I get better mileage. Yeah, I can't wait either. My mother's coming in from Jericho. I got to pick her up down at the camel station tomorrow morning, just after 9 o'clock. And then imagine being the one that was in the restroom at 5 to 9. You were in the restroom playing with the soap dispenser. I said this morning in church in Tampa, Florida, I said some people will be on the pot when the Holy Ghost comes. That's where they always are. They're always on the pot. Some people already in this service tonight have been to the restroom 7 times. And they don't even have a bladder infection. Why is it that some people, they arrive after God started to move, or when they leave, then the Lord starts to move? I mean, you just have to purpose in your heart that that's not going to be you. I believe that this week is going to be a supernatural week. I believe as we press in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, that this is going to be a supernatural week. And Pastor, I hope I don't get into trouble with you. You've known me for many years, but I feel we should do a special meeting on Friday morning, a special Friday morning anointing service, only for the hungry ones, only for the hungry. Friday morning, 10 o'clock. I've just been feeling that in my spirit. Now, I know it's the Lord because Marcus Lamb wanted me to play golf with him on Friday. But I said, I can't play golf Friday. I feel something in my spirit for Friday morning. Amen. And besides that, I don't have 6 hours to play golf. It's the slowest round of golf you ever had in your life. Don't tell him. You could shave between nines. I just feel that in my spirit. Friday morning, we're going to have a special anointing service. Get the word out. We're going to lay hands on everything that moves. If it doesn't move, we're going to keep our hand on it till it moves. Hallelujah. 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 The fact of the matter is this. All this is in the Word. You can read the Word, but that doesn't mean say you're going to walk in it. Because if you just read the Word, it becomes information. But when something happens and it becomes revelation, then you step out of the place of knowledge. You step out of gnosis into epinosis. You step out of natural knowledge into supernatural knowledge. That's why he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. He didn't say these signs shall follow them, the apostles. These signs shall follow the prophets. These signs shall follow the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Every one of you should be laying hands on the sick. Every single one of you should be laying hands on the sick. Every single one of you should be casting out devils. Every single one of you. The Bible says Stephen was a deacon and he had great miracles, wonders, and signs among the people. If Stephen was alive today, they'd put him on television and have a great healing ministry. And he was a deacon. He was a deacon. Deacons should have signs and wonders and miracles. If you call yourself Pentecostal, a lot of people call themselves Pentecostal, they're penny nothing. I was standing with a leading minister and somebody rushed up and said, could you please pray for me? I'm a real critical condition. And they said, look, if you can come to the night service, he said, I just don't feel the anointing now. But if you come tonight, I'll pray for you. I just thought, oh, my Lord, have anointing only works at night. Can't go by feelings. I remember one trip we made, we flew to New Zealand, then on to Australia. But when you fly to New Zealand, you lose a day. Kenneth was turning 8. Right on the flight. And he said, Daddy, when's my birthday? I said, son, it's about now. We're crossing the date line. He never got over that for a couple of years. You remember that? Kenneth, we'll celebrate the whole week. Will be your birthday. It was not good enough for him. Because we left on a Sunday night and we arrived into Auckland, New Zealand, Tuesday morning. So Monday was somewhere across the ocean. I arrived at the service. There was about 3,000 people in the showgrounds, packed this place. People were hungry. They were waiting for us. And I was so tired. I was jet-lagged. My head felt 3 times the size of my body. And in those days, I had a much bigger body. And I was so tired. I can remember just wanting to sleep. Because all I had time was to go to the hotel, take a shower, get dressed, go straight to the meeting. So I preached my heart out. I gave the altar call. Hundreds of people streamed forward to give their life to Christ. And I remember when I said, would you bow your head, please? And then I began to pray. My voice started to trail off. It's like you were falling asleep. Who's ever been driving a car and you started to doze off? It was the same way, except I'm leading people to the Lord. And then I got a fright. I thought, I hope I'm praying the right words. Imagine if I start praying over the food. Like in the middle of, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, bless this food. You know, that kind of stuff. Because I was dozing off. I was falling asleep. So right when I finished the prayer, I turned to my wife and said, did I pray okay? Did I say? She said, you said fine. Everything was fine. Then I realized I was praying out of my spirit. So then they said to me, could you please pray for everybody? I said, let me do it tonight. Let me go home and, no, please pray for the people. Okay. So we lined the people up. Now you've got 3,000 people lined up. I've worked it out. I can do 1,500 an hour. You know, filled, now, fire, receive. That's it. Take it, brother. Take it right now. That's it. Receive it. 1,500 an hour. One day it took me 5 hours to pray for 9,000 people. When I finished, I couldn't even speak in English. Only tongues came out of my mouth. So anyway, so they lined the people up. I felt nothing. I felt absolutely nothing. I felt half asleep. But so I just went down the line. In the name. Now, filled. And there was a lady, a pastor's wife, that was in a wheelchair. She was paralyzed. And I went and I touched her. I said, in the name. And I went on and she started shouting at me, come back here, pray properly. And then she started to cuss loud. I said, you bleedy blank, get back over here. But I was still going, in the name. And the pastor quickly turned and he wheeled the lady and he was going up the aisle trying to get her to be quiet. She was making a scene. And New Zealand is a temperate climate. They don't really have heating and air conditioning. Even in the cars. It doesn't really get that hot. But it was a hot day. And he wheeled her out. They got into the car. He put her in the passenger seat. He took the wheelchair, folded it down, stuck it in the back seat, and got in. And she was cussing. She's paralyzed now. But it was so hot. She reached out her hand. She started to roll down the window. This is a paralyzed woman now. Starting to roll down. She's cussing. And she looks at her hand. She's rolling down the window. He looks at her. She looks at him while she's cussing me out. God healed a cussing preacher. Sorry, let me rephrase it. God healed a cussing preacher's wife. But then you don't know what she had to live with. She was not healed instantly, but over the next 18 months, everything went back to normal, and she now travels and ministers. I've never seen her since. Maybe she feels embarrassed that she cussed me out. But why am I saying that? Because I never felt a thing. It's got nothing to do with what you feel. Jesus was walking on the way to Jairus' house. I don't think he was feeling anything. I don't think if you saw Jesus, how are you doing? I just feel it right now. Feel the anointing. Feel so strong right now. No, he's just walking on his way to Jairus' house. And a woman comes and presses through the crowd and touches the hem of his garment. She was illegally in a public place. Under the law, if she was to be found, she was to be stoned. But she was desperate. She had suffered many things in many positions, spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Because he felt it go out of him. In other words, she placed a demand upon the anointing. She felt it go out. He felt it He felt it go out. She felt it come in. It's not hype. It'll work anyway on the streets. Thank God for the choir, but you don't need the choir. Jesus wasn't walking down the road. Okay, choir, sing this song, please. Where's she from? Huh? Is she a local Texan? Where are you from?
Hungary.
I thought, dear, come here. No. This is how Europeans react to the power of God. Totally different. I knew she was from a foreign country. Just by the way she responded to the power of God. Budapest? Fire! Isn't that crazy? I just knew she was an international person just by the way she was responding to the Holy Ghost. It's a fact. Internationals don't just sit like this. That's amazing. I would have said she was from Scandinavia, but I was off. But I knew she was from a foreign field. I could just see it. Because, yeah, in America, everybody tries to intellectualize the Spirit of God. They try to work it all out with their mind. You can't work it out with your mind. With all due respect, your brain doesn't have the capacity. Come here, brother. You, yes, quickly. Come right over here. Quickly. Lift your hands. Filled right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You again. Try to leave some for the other people. It's not fair that you come and get everything. Come here, bring her here. Step out over here. Filled right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This lady right here, sister, quickly step out of your seat and come stand right over here. It'll be okay. She'll be fine. Come. Lift your hands. Filled right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Come here, brother. Step right over here. Filled right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come here, young lady. Come. Come. Come right over here. Come, run right over here. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Lift your hands. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing. 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 Come here, brother. Quickly, step right over here. Lift your hands. Filled right now from the top of your... Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Filled. Bring him back. He's like shooting a buffalo. Sometimes you have to use 3 rounds. Fire! I'm from Africa. I'm a hunter. Sometimes first shot doesn't do it. Now, you might say, well, what's happening to these people? None of your business. Some people are getting healed. Other people, the Lord is giving them direction. Other people are receiving the anointing for what God's going to do in their life in the days and weeks and months to come. Hallelujah. It's okay, baby. It's all good. Trust me. If anything could have gone wrong, your daddy would have died a long time ago. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 This lady right over there in the blue. Yeah, you. Step right out over here. Ushers, help her. Bring her, bring her, bring her. Pilled right there. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen, listen, listen. If you think that this is something, then go just read Acts chapter 2. There came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Pick him up. Lift your hands. Pilled right now. Bring her out. Step her back in the clearing. Take her back in the clearing. In the clearing, God. In the clearing. Fire. She'll never be the same. She'll never be the same. What's happening? It's good, isn't it? What do you feel right now?
Overwhelming.
Overwhelming, yeah. It's like a river. Yeah, that's on the inside of you. The Lord's going to use you in a powerful way. Not just later, but now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray with him. Come here, buddy. Come here. How old is she? 13. How old are you? Lift your hands right now. You feel that? That's the power of God. Jesus! Touch. You know, it's 37 years now in the ministry, and I bump into people that are pastoring churches that said, I was 11, I was 12, I was 6. It's the most amazing thing. And those are your grandbabies. Isn't that awesome?
I love it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. People are being healed in this place tonight. People are being set free in this place tonight. Fear is going from people right now. Bondages, addictions, things that have been holding you back are leaving right now. You say, why? Because the anointing destroys the yoke. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. A bondage. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Listen, there's no difference right now to what we saw in 93. There's no difference to the anointing. You say, what do you mean? I was there then, I'm here now. The difference can just be people's receptivity to receive it. Because when you've seen it, say, we've seen all that. And you become blasé about the things of God. I never become blasé. You know why? Because another young lady just got touched. She's only 13 years old. Are you with me? I can't get hungry for you. I can't get thirsty for you. You got to get hungry for yourself. Some of the ushers from 93, I don't suggest you catch people anymore. Sit down. When you hear a catch a groan, it's time to stop catching. When the catcher makes no more noise than the person falling out, how do you know it's time to quit catching? It's the truth. Look, you've had your day. Let the young people do it. Somebody said, but why do we have catchers? If it's God, you don't need catchers. Well, where I come from in Africa, we don't really worry about catchers. But in America, people sue. That's why we have catchers. If the joy bothers you, I don't know what you're going to do when you get to heaven. Because heaven is a place of abundant joy. In actual fact, the Lord will say to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Not the oil of sadness. The oil of gladness. Let me say this to you. I traveled to a nation to preach for a man, a pastor, who owned two satellite networks that cover the whole continent and has 46 businesses. He does about $300 million a year. And I knew him when he was bankrupt. And I said to him, how, from the time when I knew you to now? He said, when you knew me, I came to one of your meetings. He said, I fell under the power. He said, in a meeting where people were making so much noise, God dropped the blueprint for my business into my spirit. So in a meeting like this, people criticize, oh, look at that, whatever. But you have no clue what the Holy Ghost is doing. And some of what the Holy Ghost is doing won't be made manifest next week, but will be made manifest in the next 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years as God raises people up for His glory. Everyone needs a Pentecost. Everyone needs a place of empowerment. Just because Pentecost happened doesn't mean to say you're going to walk in the reality of it. Everyone needs to have their own personal Pentecost. I pray this week that if you've not had your own personal Pentecost, that between now and Friday night, that you will receive from God a touch from heaven that will elevate you into the fullness of what God has for your life and for your ministry. There's people sitting here, they're going to pastor churches in the days to come. There's people sitting here that are going to be great evangelists. They're going to bring in the great harvest of souls. There's people sitting here that God's going to raise in the business realm, that you will fund the end time harvest. And I'm not talking about millions, I'm talking about billions. Because we're in the final hour. We're in the final moments. The return of Jesus is so close. There's not many days left. And this harvest has to be brought in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want everybody to bow your heads, please. I will continue tomorrow night. Really, I'm going to talk about how the Lord touched me, how the fire of God fell on me in 1979. But while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give an invitation tonight to people. If you fit into any one of these three categories, I would love to pray with you and for you. Maybe you walked in here tonight. Maybe you've come to this place. You've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. That's something that you have to do. What would happen if tonight was your last night on the earth? You went home tonight and put your head on your pillow, and in the middle of the night, you breathed out your last breath. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all the guilty stain. Tonight, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Tonight, He calls you. Tonight, Jesus is standing with arms wide open. He says, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He calls you now. Will you surrender tonight? You might never have another opportunity. Tonight He calls. It's time to come. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost that peace, that joy that you once had. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. Maybe it's something hidden. It's what we call the hidden things of the heart. No one knows. Your wife doesn't know. Your husband doesn't know. Your pastor doesn't know. No one knows. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that come and clog the heart of man. But tonight He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. If I ask for the show of hands of how many people in this place know of people that was once serving the Lord but are not serving the Lord, I can guarantee you that over 90% of hands will be raised in this place. That's why the Bible says to protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everybody knows about. And the devil actually uses it against you to keep in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of events that have transpired in your life. But I want you to know that God is a God of a new beginning, and God is a God of a second chance. And if you'll come back tonight and say, Lord, I'm coming back. I surrender my life afresh. He will do a work on the inside of you, and you'll never be the same. This Sunday night, right here, Calvary Cathedral, Fort Worth, Texas, will be the turning point. And you look back and say, it was that night that I came back. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. I've met many people, including preachers, said I was doing great. And then suddenly, it's like a Mack truck from hell hit me. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked their world. It's like it knocked the wind out of their sails. But tonight the Lord, He says, come. He says, come. He says, come. Will you surrender afresh to Him? Will you say, Jesus, come. Take me as I am. I surrender afresh to you. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire. I want to be hot. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, He says to the Laodicean church, He said, I would that you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. Everyone can check the temperature of your heart tonight. And this week you can get radically on fire for God. The storms of life come to everyone. And we got to realize there's an enemy of your soul. He hates the very ground that you walk on. And he'll do anything to get you off of the path that the Lord has for your life. But that's what the anointing does. That's what Jesus does. He comes and brings us back. Just like when Peter denied him on three occasions. And yet it was very interesting to note that Jesus picked Peter to preach the Pentecost message. Peter was the one that got up and said, this is that. If it was me, I would have said, Peter, sit down. But Jesus used him to give us a before and after picture. Before the Holy Ghost, you'll be timid. You'll deny Him. But after the Holy Ghost, you'll be bold. Tonight He calls you. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you do love the Lord, that's not even the question. But you are sitting in this place, you love God, but you're not sure of your salvation. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But tonight you want to know, you want to make sure, you want to leave this place, you want to know that you're a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, quickly, put your hand up right now all across the building. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Hands are going up. Just raise up high and say, yes, Lord. Yes, tonight is my night. I'm not going another moment. Tonight is my night. I surrender afresh. Once you raise it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me now, please. Over on this side, if you did not raise your hand on those invitations, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray right now. You didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up right now, say, include me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Quickly, put your hand up. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Another hand over there. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Quickly, put it up high. This section here, you didn't raise it, but you want to be included. Put your hand up now. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, young lady. God bless you. Anybody else? Quickly, slip it up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. 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 I want everyone that raised your hand, I want you to stand all across this place, please. Everyone that raised your hand, stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet all across the building. I want to pray with you and for you. I want you to come from where you are and come fill up the altar here. We're going to pray together. Come. Come now. Come right now. Come right in the middle. Come right in the middle. Don't spread out. Come right in the middle. Come right in the middle. Come right in the middle. Come right in the center. Come. Come in a little closer. Make room for the others. Come. 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 I understand that some people are slipping out the door, but let me just say this. I want to ask you a question. Would you slip out the door if this was your mother standing here? See, we in America, you know, we give altar call, people go home. They think the altar call is the benediction, but this could be your mother, your brother, your aunt, your uncle. Would you even budge? Not in 100 million years. You'd be sitting sobbing your eyes out. See, how can we ask God for more when we don't even respect what He does? I remember several years ago, I had to go preach in the city of Johannesburg. And of course, we advertised on Facebook, and some of my second cousins and third cousins were not even saved. In actual fact, belonged to a cult. They said, "Can we see you when you come?" I said, "Yeah, bring a whole bunch of you and I'll feed you supper." I think like 26 people showed up for buffet supper. And they were so whacked out, they even started fighting with each other. I said, "No, no, no, we're not going to fight with anybody tonight. We're just going to have fun tonight. Nobody's fighting with anyone. Nobody's talking doctrine." They didn't know doctrine, but they had whacked out ideas. And so I fed them, and we just fellowshiped. And I said, "Hey, I'm in town. We have meetings tomorrow night, Sunday night. I would love for you to come." And they said, "We'll come." And here I walked out of this place. 4,500 people packed the building. And when I gave the altar call, 650 people come forward to get saved. And when I looked out, there was all my cousins. Now, I saw this young man and his wife. His father died an alcoholic. This other young man and his wife, his father died an alcoholic. Now, I'm telling you, I couldn't even pray the prayer for people to exist. I was weeping. I was just sobbing uncontrollably. I thought they're going to have to pick me up, scrape me like butter off of the ground. I was a total boss case because for many years I've said, "This is somebody's mother, somebody's cousin, somebody's aunt, somebody's uncle." And I'm standing there, the Lord says, "There's your family." So there was no room. There had no side room they could take the people to pray for. All the counselors came forward and they worked with them and they gave me time to recover. And then I said, "Okay, I'm going to ask for every one of you that's not my family, please go sit down." And I had this whole row of my family. And I went down and hugged the first one. It fell on the pound. The next one fell on the pound. The next one fell on the pound. And I was a mess. I could remember getting back to the hotel. It was like 2:30 in the morning. I'm sitting like straight up in bed, like, "What just happened?" I just think the modern church take things too casually. Because that is somebody's family.
Right.
And if it was yours, you wouldn't budge. Regardless of what you have to do tomorrow. We tell people at our church, you can leave while I preach, but don't leave during the altar call. I don't care if you leave during while I'm preaching, that's fine. But when I'm giving altar call, if you leave, I'm going to bust you. I'm going to rebuke you. Amen. Because this is holy. Now stretch your hand out towards these precious people right now. Thank you, Lord. I want you to look at me. If you mean business with God tonight, God means business with you. So we're going to pray one prayer fits all. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And I want you to pray this after me right now. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you.
Father, I come to you.
In the precious name.
The precious name.
Of your Son, Jesus.
Your Son, Jesus.
Lord, you said in your word.
Lord, you said in your word.
If I confess.
If I confess.
With my mouth.
With my mouth.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Is my Lord.
Is my Lord.
And my Savior.
My Savior.
And I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That God has raised you from the dead.
God has raised you from the dead.
I will be saved.
I will be saved.
So Father, right now.
So Father, right now.
I confess.
I confess.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Is my Lord.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
My Savior.
Come into my heart right now.
Come into my heart right now.
Take out the stony heart.
Take out the stony heart.
Put in a heart of flesh.
Put in a heart of flesh.
Wash me.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Change me.
Change me.
Fill me.
Fill me.
Use me.
Use me.
Let me never be the same again.
Never be the same again.
I turn my back on the world.
Turn my back on the world.
I turn my back on sin.
Turn my back on sin.
And I follow you, Lord Jesus.
I follow you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for shedding your blood for me.
Thank you for shedding your blood.
Thank you that on the third day you rose for me.
Thank you that on the third day you rose for me.
And thank you that you're coming back again for me.
Thank you that you're coming back again.
From this night on.
From this night on.
I'll never be.
I'll never be
the same again.
Same again.
I confess.
I confess.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Has come in the flesh.
Come in the flesh.
He is
my Lord
and my Savior.
My Savior.
And right now,
right now,
by faith in the finished work of the cross,
finished work of the cross,
and by the shed blood of Jesus,
by the shed blood of Jesus,
I am saved.
I am saved.
I am saved.
I am saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
for saving me now.
Saving me now.
Now, Father, I pray that you would come even now by your Spirit, that you would seal everyone. That not one would be missing on the day when we stand before you. That you be about them as a wall of fire. That you raise them up to be mighty men and women of God. And use them to impact this generation, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. I want you to turn and follow our brothers over there. We have a gift we want to put in your hand. Just turn. Take a few minutes and go up the aisle if you would, please. God bless you. Welcome. Just turn and go up the aisle, please.